This is the son of PCJ.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. Before Christmas 2011, a lot of us had the feeling it was not going to be a white Christmas. Temperatures were unusually mild, and then all of a sudden, before Christmas, some parts of Switzerland were hit with massive snowfalls. One of those areas is Canton Valley. All over Canton Valley, they have received huge amounts of snow, and also Canton Graubünden, or Grissons, in southeastern Switzerland. The situation is grave in some areas. Some parts of the country, as we speak at the beginning of January, are still cut off. Rail transportation has been disrupted. Passes are closed. Ordinary roads are closed. I just talked to my wife and daughter the other day, who were down in Leukerbad, in the German-speaking part of Canton Valley, and they report 1 meter of new snow. Absolutely incredible. Talking with me now is my good friend and contributor to Switzerland in Sound, Aubrey Diem. And Aubrey lives in Zinal, which is just not far from German-speaking Canton Valley, but technically on the French side in Zinal. Aubrey, you've got quite a story to tell, but before I ask you to tell it, I recall, I'm sure you remember too, the first time you and I met was on a telephone line under similar circumstances when I was still working for the International Radio in Bern, and somebody mentioned, gee, there's this guy Aubrey Diem, and he snowed in Zinal.
Yes, it was really, for me, the second time. It was a long period of snow and avalanches, and I recall that time. And, of course, if that's all I'm known for as being in a place which is sucked in bad weather, that's the way it is here.
Well, actually,
there's nothing you can do about it.
I know. You have a love affair with Zinal. You don't mind being cut off from time to time, do you? I mean, you live alone. It's a quiet village. Everybody knows each other. And you don't mind looking out and seeing this massive amount of snow. You've told me this before. It's almost a reflective period for you. You do enjoy it, don't you?
Well, I enjoy it after I get my car free from the clutches of the snow.
Well, here on the website, Switzerland in Sound, we're going to have a picture of your snow-covered car. And believe me, I wouldn't want to dig it out. So I imagine you're not going anywhere for a while unless it's on public transport. But now let's update the situation, Aubrey. Let's look at the winter 2011-2012. When were you hit by the first big snows?
Fall was very beautiful. Every day was clear. It was very dry. And people were panicking because, of course, the whole Valais and Switzerland, for that matter, depend on skiing during the winter time. And tourism is a big addition to the economy. So they said already, yes, it's going to snow. But, of course, we didn't know how much. And then it started to snow. And it continued. And before we knew what had happened, and there was nobody in the parking lot except me and maybe a couple cars waiting for the tourists. And suddenly we looked and you couldn't see the cars. And when this stopped, I realized, wow, my car is socked in a meter of snow on the roof of the car. So then I had to try to clear it off, and it took me 3 days.
And in the meantime, you've been covered up with snow again.
That was just it. And while I cleaned it off, then it started to snow again. And then we didn't know how much it was going to be. But then the tourists had come, and there was all this snow pre-tourists, and the parking lot was, using a French expression, was like a bordel. Whenever things are bad, it's like a bordello.
Chaos.
So they said, wow, what are we going to do? So people were parking everywhere in front of the door to the apartment, wherever there was space. And the problem was that the early snow hadn't been cleared away. The plow came, and the plow cut one lane in the parking lot, and that lane led to another chalet. And then the problem was when the plow comes and leaves, you're really snowed in because I had snow at the back of my car, which was in a different parking place, up practically up to the back window of the car.
Aubrey, what did this do to the town? I mean, you're not the only one living there. What was the scene for all the other people who live in Zinal? It must have been, you just felt isolated, I suppose.
Chaotic. And in fact, during the snowfall, the early snowfall, the electricity was cut about five times. And so I had to go out. One of the things I did is buy a candle. That happens. The electricity always get cut, and of course for the computer it's a big mess, and you're watching something on TV and then suddenly it's black, and it was dark already. So I have a flashlight. Everybody does. They have a flashlight. They have candle. They're used to it. But then the people came, and then they parked everywhere because many of the parking places were covered up with a meter of snow. It was a real chaos.
What is the situation now? I mean, are the ski lifts running? Is life more or less back to normal?
One day the ski lifts didn't run, and that was high winds. The ski lifts are running, but there are no tourists here. January is always a dead month. After the bacchanal of Christmas, New Year's, people go back to their offices, and they don't come out until February. Then they start to ski again.
February is a classic skiing month, especially the school children are off too, so it's a family affair.
Yeah. So right now there's very few people who are tourists in Zinal, though the skiing right now is the best that it's been in years because there's so much snow, so much powder snow. But on the other hand, it's also very dangerous. Because the snow, when it came down with high winds, which is very difficult with the high wind to predict where there are certain avalanches that might come down.
Well, this is important because it isn't just a question of heavy accumulations of snow. Also, in many places, especially in Canton Valley, there's been a very, very high level of serious avalanche danger.
Well, I've been here through the avalanches. I've seen them. I know how dangerous they are. And people who head off the piste, which many people do today, even though they know they shouldn't, they're the ones that cause the avalanches. And they're the ones that, I mean, if I were doing this sort of thing, safety, I would just say, well, we're sorry, but if you're in an avalanche, we can't dig you out until the springtime when it all melts. Because far too many people who are just benevole, they do it for nothing, and they help and try to find the people who have been in an avalanche, and most of them are dead after 15, 20 minutes. That is so dangerous that many of the benevole are killed by other avalanches which take place. And
These volunteers.
Yeah, they are the volunteers. And then most of them are young men with the wives and young children. And it's just not fair because the people who go off the piste are just completely stupid.
Do you have any explanation for that mentality?
I think the big problem is that the people who ski, their attitude is, I want to get an adrenaline rush, and it doesn't matter what's happening, and it doesn't matter about the weather, and they don't care, and they don't know, and they go off the piste. Well, you know how big it is here to ski, and you can't check everybody. You can't put fences up to prevent them. When they go, they go, and that's when the problems occur. So that, in my estimation, look, I was ski instructor, Canadian ski instructor here, worked on the lifts for 6 years. I've seen it all. And it's the people themselves who are the dumb ones. And I don't think that people should risk their lives once they're under 2-3 meters of snow, try to find their body. Let it wait until the springtime when it all melts.
Some people, it seems, just need police rules and regulations because they can't think for themselves and they have no common sense. It seems this is the problem we're talking about there. But finally, Aubrey, just to look at this from a different point of view, those of you who live year-round in Zinal, and you said before that you're used to this kind of weather, what is the feeling in the village among people? Are people... are they closer together? Are they more friendly? Is there more life in the restaurants, as one might imagine, because there's not too much else to do?
The people here get together, and as you say, they go to the restaurant, they have some wine, they talk. The other day, I took the bus to Viswa, which is 15 minutes away, and I met a guy that... I have seen, and we just sat together and chatted, of course, about the snow and the problems of the snow, because the snow brings big problems, among which are the heavy trucks come in to get the snow off the main street of Zinal, which isn't very big, because there was so much of it. So these big, huge trucks, dump trucks, come in, and then they have bulldozers, of course, that raise the snow to them. And this went on all day for the first snowfall, but they have to do it again because the village is actually choked with snow. And there are hills in the village of snow that the kids love to play with.
Well, you've got all this snow on the ground, Aubrey. How long is it going to stay there?
It's not very cold. In fact, it's just at the freezing point. But if it gets a little colder, it stays till May, June. The skiing season lasts till May. And generally, when it warms up, it goes very fast, and that's the danger. When it went fast the last time, it hit a village, a tremendous amount of water came down, and rock, which you, the size of which you couldn't believe, came down, wrecked the tennis court, wrecked the road, and caused a lot of damage. So that's the problem. If it's a slow melt in the spring, everything's okay. But if it's a fast melt, then villages will be in deep trouble.
But yeah. Just to wind up on this, Aubrey, I think it's important to point out, despite all of the dangers lurking everywhere, if people come and obey the guidelines, if they follow the advice of the local people, if they stay on the marked runs, they're going to be fine and they'll enjoy good skiing, safe skiing.
Well, that's correct.
Aubrey Diem reporting from Zinal, which is really sucked in with snow, and a lot of snow, as other parts of Switzerland this season, 2011-2012. And we don't know. Weather patterns in the Alps can be very, very changeable. This might be the end of it or just the beginning. Aubrey, thank you very much for telling us about life in Zinal under the white stuff.
It's time for another Letter from Switzerland, in which we try to reflect Swiss life through our own eyes. Today's letter is written and presented by my American-Canadian friend Aubrey Diem, from his home in the mountains of Canton Valley in southern Switzerland.
I'm sitting at my desk looking out onto the village of Zinal in Canton Valley and to the mountains surrounding us. We just had the first snowfall of the season, and it was a major one, 1 meter to be exact. My car is buried under it, and I'm not going anywhere for a while. Before the snow came, I drove on the A1 motorway from Geneva Airport to Aarau, which is near Zurich. It's quite a long trip, This is Switzerland's main street. Along the way, you pass major cities like Lausanne, Bern, Freiburg, Solothurn, and Olten. This is the Swiss Midlands, where the main farmsteads and agricultural lands are. When I first crossed the country in 1954, much of the hilly terrain was covered in forest, but now you see mainly open space. At many of the motorway interchanges, a recent and disturbing phenomenon has occurred. The ubiquitous and ever-growing commercial complexes or shopping malls. First, there was one or two box stores. Then around them, more were built, and more land was paved over. Car and truck traffic increased, especially on secondary roads that were not built for the increase of traffic where the shopping centers have been located. The spread of concrete and asphalt is smothering the natural landscape and limiting its capacity to absorb rainwater and melting snow, thus increasing the risk of flooding. Rather than showing signs of slowing down, there's an acceleration of these mega projects. If there is no control, there will be an urbanization that destroys the natural beauty of the Swiss landscape. A second land use problem in the planning process is the lack of houses for families who want to leave their apartment dwellings as their families mature. If you have lots of money, there's no problem. However, if you want to buy or rent on a limited budget, it is more difficult to find a house, especially in areas between Lausanne and Geneva and along the Lake of Zurich. Many of the dwellings in these areas cost millions of dollars and are bought by the very wealthy, who often come from other countries seeking lower taxes than in their homeland. The problem is that the native Swiss have been priced out of the market. This situation is especially acute in the mountainous areas of the country. Chalets, apartments, and older structures are available at prices that ordinary Swiss cannot afford. Most dwellings start at 500,000 francs, which is about the same in U.S. dollars. I recently saw an advertisement in the Financial Times of London for chalets in Grimens, a village near Zinal in the Val d'Anivier, starting at 500,000 and reaching up to 5 million francs. Another full-colored page for a luxury development at Andermatt in south-central Switzerland recently appeared in the Financial Times magazine entitled How to Spend It. These hastily planned projects are scattered all over the Alps and are vacant for most of the year. Switzerland has a strong, well-run economy, and people who have money want to invest it in Swiss real estate, many of them foreigners. This is what is driving up real estate values to levels that ordinary native Swiss cannot afford. Thus, luxury projects are available only for the very rich, and adequate housing for the masses is limited. Despite Switzerland's reputation for orderliness and organization, there seems to be no urban and rural planning. Because money talks. And this is the factor that is shaping the Swiss landscape of tomorrow. On the one hand, there is a shortage of development for the average Swiss. On the other, there is an overabundance of luxury dwellings, both in the crowded areas of the Midlands and the limited areas of the Alps. But in this small, overcrowded country, land is limited. One wonders when all the development and construction is going to end.
Thank you.
Killian Lochmater is a friend of a mutual friend, Aubrey Diem, who also contributes to Switzerland in Sound, and he also features on the website. Killian and Aubrey know each other because they both live in Zinal, the village in southern Switzerland in Canton Valley. And Killian Lochmater has a very special profession. He is one of the top boot fitters in the world, and he has been with major ski teams of Europe and North America. Killian, exactly what is your job as a boot fitter? What exactly is involved in that job?
So exactly my job is a boot fitter. I take care of the ski boots from all my racers. It means that I have to fit out them to find the good sizes, the right plastic, and then I have to punch or to ground and to prepare the boots exactly for them, for each foot.
What does that mean? Do you have special boots that are adapted to each skier? Each one fits each skier perfectly.
Yeah, that's right. We have special ski boots. It means that's not the same ski boots where you can find in the shops. And then they have to, for all disciplines, what they do, they have a special boot for them. So we have to figure together out which plastic we want to take for the race or for the trainings and also for the disciplines.
Do the weather conditions play a role in the boot? I mean, a special boot for certain weather?
Yeah, that's right. We have sometimes, especially when we go to North America, where we can find in November this very cold temperature, we have sometimes problems because the plastic can change a lot between maybe here in Europe in the warmer temperature and then in North America. So mostly we take boots with different stiffnesses with us. So then the racers can try if it's really cold. They take normally a little bit softer one.
So you're looking at the weather conditions just before the start of the race. You might change a boot at the very last minute.
Yeah, I wouldn't say maybe in the very last minute, but it could be a day before or even in the morning.
Why is the boot so important to a skier, especially in competition?
Yeah, I would say the boots, that's right, is maybe the most important equipment in the ski, because the boots are very close to the skin, to the bones, and for the feelings, to have the good feeling between the ski and the body, it's the most important equipment, and it has to be really well fitted.
Because every movement of the skier has to be transmitted exactly to the ski, and that transition is in the boot. The boot carries all of that subtle movement, right?
Yeah, that's right. All equipments are important, but I would say the most important thing are the boots. That's right.
Well, I know you've got skiing in your blood, and you've probably been skiing all of your life. Like so many good skiers, they start as children. But how did you become such an expert in this particular field, Killian?
Yeah, I worked before many years for the skis. I was a tech guy, a serviceman for the skis, and then I stopped a little bit. I worked after I had my own business, and then the company where I work now, Rossignol, they contacted me, and they were looking for a boot fitter again, and so I came back to the World Cup, And I like it very much to now with the boot with the ski boots, because I think it's more interesting than only to do the skis.
I guess you have to take years to build up such a good reputation. You're a top specialist in this field, and I guess it takes a long time to build that reputation.
Yeah, it's right. Experience, it helps a lot. It depends also with how many races you have to do. I take care with about 100, a little bit more than 100 races from 15 different countries, and so it helps to, in a short time, to improve a lot, because we have many different things to do than maybe somebody who takes care only in on 5 or 10 races. That's right.
And it means you're traveling all the time during the ski season. Are you? You're probably not home very much, are you?
Not so much. I started already in the springtime. We went to here in Europe or Scandinavia to the glaciers for testing the new boots, and then in the summertime I went with many teams to South America, to our first to Argentina, southern of Patagonia, the southest point of the world. And then I went up to Chile. I stayed about a little bit more than a month in South America. And then I came back to our Swiss glaciers here, to South Face Zermatt. And after that to Austria and for starting the World Cup in Sölden. After that, we went to Canada. We are actually a lot on the road, that's right.
Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you very much.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.